Dear ones, for this evening's meditation, for a reading, I desire that we would read from the book of Daniel, chapter number 5. The book of Daniel, chapter number 5. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines, drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, "Whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonied. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, "O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences, and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar, now let Daniel be called, and he will show you, and he will show the interpretation." Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee, that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive, and whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven. till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knowest all this. But hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives and thy concubines, have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing which was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing, Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. And that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. May God bless our reading, and let us kneel before our Lord in prayer. As was mentioned in the prayer, that God's word is timeless. God's word has a lesson for us, as it did in the time of Daniel, and so it does in our time today. And so the reading and the meditation of this chapter, dear ones, we need to look at to consider what had taken place in the days of the prophet Daniel, and how is that applicable unto us today? Because this isn't just a story for us to read, a history, so we understand a history. There's a lesson in history. There's a lesson to be learned and to be applied into our hearts and our lives today. We know that, as we read here, that Daniel, when he comes together to speak to Belshazzar, he takes an opportunity and he preaches a sermon to him that Belshazzar needed to hear. He told him that, he reminded him of his father, he says, or it's really his grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar. He was a man that, it tells us here, that God gave him all people, nations, languages. They all trembled and feared before him. Who he slew, he did. Who he kept alive, he did. Who he set up, whom he put down, he did all that. There's probably not been a ruler as powerful as Nebuchadnezzar was in that day. Probably never since then has there been one man as powerful as he was. But what happens to the heart of man is man starts to believe that he is something good, something great, something of power, of might. And that's what man pursues. It gives him a feeling, a high of some kind, that he is a man that is revered, a man that is powerful. What he says goes. He just declares and it happens. He starts to think that he's something. And this is what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. He was lifted up in pride. And we know the story of Nebuchadnezzar. We know that God asked Job, who can humble a man? Can you humble a man, he asked Job? God can, and God did with Nebuchadnezzar. The most powerful man that this world has probably seen was humbled by God. He was eating grass like the oxen. And through that experience, he was humbled to the ground. There's nothing of his power, nothing that he could say, nothing that he could do could change what he was, that predicament that he was in. He was humbled to the ground. And he realized that there is a God in heaven. and that he is a nobody and a nothing in the face of God. And the Bible tells us that Nebuchadnezzar had repented. And we see that. And he praised God. And these things were known unto Belshazzar. He knew of this. And dear ones, this is something that we really need to consider. Because Daniel tells Belshazzar, "Thou, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this." You knew everything. You knew how Nebuchadnezzar was lifted up in pride. You knew how God had humbled him. You knew that it was God alone that was able to do this. You knew all of this. And you, knowing this, you didn't humble your own heart. You're starting to believe that you're a somebody again. And so, dear ones, we have to consider, you know, the sin of Nebuchadnezzar was pride. It was pride. That's what the Bible tells us. And look what God did to humble him and to change him. And so when a man is lifted up in pride, he is going absolutely against his Creator. You think, well, it's not a big thing if I just think, I'm just acting better in front of a man. You're doing it in the face of God. Because God created you. He gave you everything you have. There's nothing that you could do that he doesn't give you the power and the strength and everything else. You can be the fastest man on earth, or be it known that you're the fastest man on earth. And what? God didn't give that to you? I could practice and train all I want. I'll never be the fastest man. I won't even come close. I don't have that talent. It's not given to me. The man who is given, he's starting to feel good about himself. I'm the greatest. And that's the heart of man. Whenever he excels in something, he thinks highly of himself. And that goes against God. And you cannot be a servant of God when there's pride in your heart. Cannot be. I don't care how small that pride is. We could say it's small, but when you lift yourself up, you've elevated yourself to a position you don't belong, and God will humble you. Or he will show you a means through which you are not as good as you think you are. And so this is a great lesson for us this evening, as the word is very applicable to us as it was to Belshazzar in that day. We see that Daniel, this is now, Daniel's probably an old man by now. This isn't written in chronological order, as we can see, because just in the previous chapter, Nebuchadnezzar is when he had his dream and Daniel's interpretation of it and the fulfillment of it and so on. But many years had gone by. It's not chronologically written, but we see here now that Belshazzar, who is the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, is lifted up. And he does something. He chooses to do something that Nebuchadnezzar didn't even do. Because when he took over Jerusalem, he took out of the temple all the golden vessels that were used for the worship of a holy God. So those were holy vessels that were used because they were consecrated or used for the purpose of a worship of God. And Nebuchadnezzar took those and put them in storage, and he left them there. And that's where they sat. Belshazzar knew this. Belshazzar knew what those vessels were, what they meant. But in the face of God, he thought that he was going to do something, and he has this party, if we can call it that. And it's a cocktail party. And again, we have a lesson for today for us. What drinking does to a man. The cocktail parties should not even be discussed among the brethren. And yet they're held. Alcohol consumption is really for a little man and a little woman. It props them up. and makes them feel like a somebody. And alcohol was freely flowing in this party that Belshazzar had. Wine was passed around, flowed freely. Drink as much as you want. And in this feeling that alcohol gives to Belshazzar, he says, bring the golden and silver vessels. Take them. Bring them here. So they might drink from them. And it says they brought them. They took out the they took them out and they gave them to the king, the princes, his wives, his concubines, all big, powerful people, right? And they're drinking and they're having a great time. Showing that this God that the Jews speak of, that Belshazzar heard of the power of who he was, and yet, you know, he was lulled to sleep. He was lulled to sleep because, and it's exactly what is said in Proverbs, that Solomon, who through his lifetime, he did not follow after the ways of God whom he had heard and known of. He didn't follow after him. And through that, later in his old age, he's sorrowful over what he had done. And he himself said, because in the face of evil, a swift judgment is not brought, the heart of man, it grows in a way where it feels there is no judgment to come. There is no God. Evil work can be done, and it can even be rewarded, we can think. Because we look at what Jesus says. He causes the rain to fall on all, the good and the bad. Everything happens to the good and the bad. And the one who is bad can think, well, there's no swift punishment. There's nothing going on. God is so merciful, and he doesn't look at this as a big thing. And he progresses. And so that's what Belshazzar certainly had been experiencing, because he turned and says, I'm going to enhance this party. I'm gonna mock this God and the Jews who are in captivity by the Babylonians. I'm going to mock this God. Bring in those vessels and let's pass them around. And they do. And immediately, God speaks in a way that causes them all to just look in bewilderment and fear. On the plaster of the wall, it tells us there's a hand that appears. Out of nowhere, there's a hand. And it's writing something. Think of that. You're having a grand old time. And there's a writing on the wall. A hand has appeared and is writing. You think you're seeing things, but you look again and you're not seeing things. It's there. And there's a writing that is being left as the hand moves along the wall. It says, in the same hour, there came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall. And the king's countenance was changed. Why? What happened? Why not? What? You knew who God was. You knew what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. You knew this. Now he sees something with his own eyes. He's not hearing about this, he's seeing it. And his countenance has changed. The party man suddenly is not so in mood of alcohol. His countenance has changed. His thoughts are troubling him. Why is he troubled? Conscience. Guilt. There's something going on here. I'm a king, but there's something going on here that I have no control over. I'm not as great as I thought I was. And so the joints of his loins are loosed and his knees are smote one against another. His knees are banging and rattling against each other. He can't even stand. And he cries, bring in the astrologers. He turns to the only thing he can turn to. because he doesn't know God. God is giving him a message. He's calling upon the astrologers. He's calling upon the Chaldeans and the soothsayers. Bring them in. And he's going to now tell them, if you can interpret this, I'm going to make you. Again, as if he has something of his own that he can give. His knees are rattling together. He's troubled. He has no peace. Guilt has overwhelmed him. He knows there's something going on, and he doesn't feel good about it. And yet he said, I'm going to make him third in the kingdom. Whoever can interpret this. Isn't this what his father Nebuchadnezzar did? Bring in the soothsayers. Bring them in. Who can decipher my dream? And so they all come in. Wise men come in, just like in that time of Nebuchadnezzar. They don't make known the interpretation. And now, all of these people that he paraded through to look at this and tell me what it says, these great men, astrologers, the wise men, who he's going to rely on, now it says he is greatly troubled. And his countenance was changing him yet again, and more so. And the queen, which is probably Nebuchadnezzar's wife, she hears of what's going on in the banquet hall, in the banquet house, and she comes there and she speaks to the king and tells him, there's a man. His name is Daniel. He made Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, to know his dreams. Call him in. He says, in him, she says, in him, light and understanding and wisdom was found in him. Light and understanding and wisdom. Who is light? Who is wisdom? Who is understanding? None other than our Lord. And she says to him, really, she's saying the Lord is with him. The words that she is using here is describing the Lord is with Daniel. Call him in. He will make this known to you. Daniel's brought in, and he introduces what's going on to him. And he knows him. He says, art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah? He knows everything. He heard of Daniel. He's, art thou that Daniel, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I've heard of thee. I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. He had no use for Daniel. He had no use for Daniel. The light and the understanding and the wisdom is what a child of God has today. And the world, just like Belshazzar and Nebuchadnezzar, they had no use for Daniel. So the world today has no use for a man who is empowered by the Spirit of God with light and wisdom and understanding. And with that light, with that wisdom, with that understanding, dear ones, we are called upon to live an exemplary life, which is the life of Jesus Christ, so that that light and that wisdom and that understanding could shine forth. And what is that light? But to point others to Jesus. That's it. That's what we are to use, our light, our wisdom, and our understanding that is given to us from on high. The world will have no use for you and for me. And so, suddenly this troubled man has a use. He needs to know what this handwriting is saying. And Daniel uses an opportunity to preach to him and to tell him what had happened to Nebuchadnezzar, thy father. He talks about A kingdom, majesty, glory, honor was given to him. But he was lifted up. And so, dear ones, as he says here, though thou knowest all of this, when we receive a understanding, when we are in the presence of light, knowledge, you know, you heard of God, you know. That's for me and you, brothers and sisters, and that's for you, my friend. You heard of God, you know. Though you know who God is, though you know, you're going to ignore that. Proverbs says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. That is Belshazzar. Belshazzar crossed an invisible line that he didn't know was there. Belshazzar crossed the line that God now said to him, as is going to be interpreted here, he said, thou art weighed. No, he says, first he says, God hath numbered thy kingdom and he finished it. Your days are numbered. You know, that we have to think about our days. Our days are numbered. What is that number? And, you know, we even say, when someone dies, that's the phrase is even used, his number was called. The number of his days was called. It's done. And that's why the psalmist tells us, he says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Our days are numbered. And he's telling the king, your days have been numbered, and now it's over. Your days are numbered. Because God has put you on the balances and you're found wanting. You know, in today's world, in today's measurements, when I look at my life and I compare my life to another Christian life or whatever, I might say my pound is 16 ounces. I'm good. But that's not God's weight system. That's not how he measures us. By my own, he weighs us in his balance. And his balance. And we are all found wanting. And we are all to look and to see that my life, that's why we're to consider our days, to apply our heart to wisdom. That's why the Apostle Paul talks about bringing ourselves into a daily examining of ourselves. Are you going to examine yourself tonight? Are you going to examine yourself in your life today in the light of the scale in which we will be weighed upon when we stand before God? Or am I going to weigh myself tonight and examine myself in the light of the scale of God? Will I? Will you? Will we? It's a question. Because Apostle Paul is telling us, examine yourselves every day. Okay? I'm going to examine myself. Yes. Oh, yes. I'm definitely lacking. I definitely reacted in an angry way here. I didn't show the love of Christ here. I was swift to speak. I was swift to wrath. I failed. And tomorrow, am I going to do the same thing? Does that examining, is it going to bring about to apply my heart to wisdom? Will it? Because if it doesn't, when am I going to cross that line? When? Do you know? No. But one day, we will cross that line. We will cross the line and we will hear This same thing, you're weighed in the balances, you're found wanting. And so this is very applicable unto us today. Apostle Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, he says, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders." And he says here, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish." Okay? So he says, "With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." Belshazzar did not receive the love of the truth of who God was, and because of that, he will be destroyed with the wicked one that will be revealed. He says, "And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth." We're going to say, well, we believe it. Are you applying your heart to wisdom? He said, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Babylon was a great city. It was so fortified that they felt it was impregnable. They could not come through those walls. We read that but this is all that Jeremiah had prophesied. Jeremiah 51 says exactly how Babylon was going to be destroyed. And we can read that those walls were like 15 square miles, 300 feet tall, wide, where like four chariots can go side by side on top of the wall. He was safe as can be in there. He was holding parties. Meanwhile, the enemy was outside, coming in. That very night, the enemy was within his city. It was within his city. History says that they didn't even know that Belshazzar was already dead and gone, and the enemy was already inside and taken over, and the people still didn't even know. That's how swiftly it happened. They had no chance. Dear ones, what does the writing on the wall mean to us today? What does it mean to us? Is it a story? Is it just a story? Or can I apply my heart to wisdom? Number my days. Consider my days, what they are. We're all going to make a choice. Are we going to examine ourselves? Am I going to continue to lift myself up in pride and go against my Creator? Because let's not be mistaken one second. When I do not take heed to the law of God, it is meaningless to me. It is meaningless to me. The hand that wrote on that wall, I believe, is the same hand that wrote on the ground. But at that time, it was a hand that was writing mercy. And here it was judgment. Today, my dear friends, my dear brothers and sisters, the writing is mercy. It's mercy. It's being offered, given unto us freely to partake, to enjoy the benefits that God bestows upon those who are His. And He gives us that wisdom and understanding so that we could point others to Jesus Christ, in whom they can find refuge for their soul. Daniel's not afraid of the enemy that is coming. Daniel wasn't afraid in front of a king. Daniel wasn't afraid of the message that he was going to give that king. He wasn't afraid. He knew who was with him. Brothers and sisters, with Jesus in our heart, in our life, directing our paths, there's nothing to be afraid. God lays out exactly in this chapter that everything comes by Him. All nations rise up and go down by him. It's him. He directs everything. Today, America, United States, feels they are so powerful, and they are. They're a powerful nation. It's an economic capital, military, you name it. Is it going to always stay that way? It can fall like Babylon fell. And all our hope that we have in our nation is crumbled and gone. Where are we going to turn to? Did we already cross that line? Are we going to cross that line where we won't be able to find our way through? The deceivableness that is telling us that is coming, it's been here, and Satan has been working. But they're trying to lead, and they're even trying to impress upon the children, put them into the pit of hell with what they're being taught today in the schools and everything else. This is our nation that we're going to look to for direction. Brother John had that last Sunday in Brunswick, a closing about that. Who are we going to look to for our refuge in time of need? You can't look to anything or anyone except unto God. And so may our hope and our trust be in him. But in that hope and in that trust, let it not be a false hope in which we feel that when we examine ourselves and we find ourselves coming short, that we don't think it's a big deal. But that it would bring about within us a change that will glorify God, and spread the love of Jesus. May his word, dear ones, find its way into each of our hearts by us opening our hearts to him, so that we, when we read his word, the prophet Daniel knew the prophet Jeremiah. He studied and he knew. And he knew that the 70 years were going to be fulfilled by the prophecy that he had read. He didn't doubt it a minute. He knew. What do we know? We might know the stock market. We might know our jobs. We might know everything. We might know. Do we know God's word? Do we know God's will? Do we know that which is the only thing that is important in our life? May God bless his word this evening upon our hearts. Amen.
Many valuable and powerful themes were brought out this evening. But one of the most helpful and practical benefits that was shared was a question. Will you examine yourself tonight? Do you intend to allow the Lord to examine you? Did you commit to examining yourself in light of God's word? Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart. May God bless his word. Amen.